going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 404-726-0929. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Dylon on the ones and twos, and the newest member of the shift, Miss Allie Mack in tow. So hopefully it hasn't been too painful, although you've already known us for quite some time, so it's not like it's breaking news to you. It's just your first official day on the mic, right?
First official day on the mic. Now I just feel like I'm coming home to hang out with my
friends.
There
you go. And that's exactly what it should feel like. That's what I was always told it should feel like. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Full phone lines, guys. Full phone lines. The two questions we pose. And also, if you want to hit us on the Twitter, Allie is searching the Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. You guys want to get your comments in that way. The questions were posed. What's the widest age gap in a relationship or a date that you've ever experienced? And also, does Jeff Ulbrich deserve to be punished because of the Shedeur Sanders prank call and the phone number being accessed by his son, Jax, a student at Ole Miss? Personally, Bo, I don't think that he should be punished. I don't think the Falcons should be punished. If they come away, just judging by what's going on in the socials, though, if they come away with a fine, I guess I wouldn't be shocked. Or Jeff Ulbrich being fined, I wouldn't be shocked. But this is not – I don't think it needs to go farther than that.
And I wanted to address that. You know, Neil, who tweeted at all of us, and he's always – I interact with him a lot. He's a big listener. He said that he thinks – he expects NFL to fine Ulbrich or the Falcons, and he thinks Ulbrich has accountability because he should have locked his device. I'd like to throw that back. Those of you that have work computers, if you're working from home with your iPad, your work iPad or computer, and you get up to refill your glass of water or sweet tea or whatever you're drinking, right, or go into the bathroom, do you put it in lock mode? Because I sure as hell tell you I don't. And I don't think any, and I know that I don't have a 21-year-old kid, but I'm telling you, dude, that's, if you're at home and you're working and it's just your family there, 99.9% of the people don't feel, unless you have some kind of government, you know, national security job with the sensitivity of, you know, anything, it's just not a thought process. It's not. Yeah. And it's not, in a million years, I don't think Jeff Ulbrich would think on the Monday morning after the draft, he would have to be dealing with this.
Yeah. And you just know, I can't even imagine what that phone call is like with his son. Again, get at us at 929 Morning Shift if you want to weigh in. Let's go ahead and head out to the full phone lines. Let's start with Walter in Atlanta. Walter, good morning, buddy. How you feeling?
What's happening, y'all? Look, shouts out to Squid Billy for the child, for his kid. Big shouts out to you, man. Allie Mack, what's going on? Welcome to the Morning Shift. Listen.
Thank you.
My biggest age gap, I had a few. I had this wild streak after college where it was just nothing but older women. I'm so happy. I was proud of myself. I ain't gonna lie.
Atta boy.
Proud of himself.
Yeah, atta boy.
Yes. I mean, I was working at a shoe store. This lady, she was about 41.
Come on.
I was in my, like, I was like 22. She faked the phone and tried to say she was coming to get a shoe, but, you know, she never, she bought the shoe and came back a week later. She asked me on a date. You know, we hung out. She said, how do you feel about someone with a 20-year-old daughter? I was like, well, we're not dating. And so, yeah, that was like one of my instances. And I think I was in like a, I was in like a 3-year relationship with somebody who was 3 years, no, she was 10 years older than me. And she had about 4 kids.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I can see why, you know, she was, she had 4 kids.
Her son was like,
her son was a defensive end. Listen, her son was a defensive end down at, what was this? One of them South Georgia schools. And my brother was like, you need to stop before he come back and fight you. I was like, yeah, I need to.
Appreciate the phone call,
and
man.
You know what? That puts a whole new meaning to the shoe show, Mike.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man. I was gonna say.
I put the work in.
Did you work at Marshall's? Because evidently, that's where Grant finds all his shoes. Let's go out back.
Ross
out.
Too. Don't forget Ross.
Let's go back out to the phone line. Let's go to Dylan. Let's go to Chase over in Jefferson. Chase, man, what's up? Come on in here.
Hey, folks. Long time since I've called in. I'm listening every day, but I travel for work, so I'm listening on the app.
Appreciate
don't get
that.
A chance to call in. So. Good talking with you guys. So I have two stories as well. So when I was in high school, again, maybe it's just because I'm a guy, but I was 17 and there was this girl and everybody was like, hey, that girl likes you, that girl likes you. And truth be told, I thought she was physically attractive, but she was 15. I was 17.
Okay.
But she was new. She was newly 15.
Yeah.
So I finally was like, oh, wait.
So, newly 15.
I'm talking like within like 6 weeks. So again, I felt like if you have to think about it, it's probably not a good thing. So again, it never went anywhere.
When you start lining up that 18th birthday and you're like, wait a minute, hang on, let me do some math here.
Yeah,
let me move
if you're
some numbers
Googling
around.
The age of consent, you should probably walk away, right?
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Good rule of thumb.
I'm proud of 17-year-old Chase for having the wherewithal. If you had to think about it, just stop.
Smart,
stop what you're doing. Pull the e-brake, air brake, everything in between. So then there was another one when I was 19. For like 2 months, I dated this girl, and she was 32, and I was only 19. But in fairness to her, she was a bartender, and I had a fake ID, so she probably thought I was at least 21.
Yeah.
I never told her I was 19. The things kind of just died on the vine, hopefully. So I kind of organically got away with that one. And I do have a comment on the Jeff Ulbrich thing. I don't think, in a professional standpoint, you can't punish the organization and Jeff Ulbrich. But
I agree.
I do want to make a comment about this kid and just kids in general these days, because I've got two kids coming up in this world. Shador Sanders is a person, man. As much as y'all like to act like he's not, to put a kid like that he waited for this moment his whole life, and you're so desperate to make your buddies laugh and get attention and get likes on your Instagram that you do something like that. I mean, you're just a bum, man. You got to grow up and got to start putting other people before yourself. So he's still
great
a kid.
Call.
Hopefully he learns to be a man one day.
Yeah,
Jeff needs to show
call.
Him.
Appreciate it, Chase. That's a phenomenal phone call, phenomenal point. I think his sentiment echoes exactly how I feel, right? The kid, no matter how you feel about Shadur, he's a person. Right, and he's dealing with, you know, a lot of things going on. Obviously, one of the biggest points in his life. So it is what it is. You got something, Bo? You looked at me like I need to add something in here.
No, this whole thing has been blown. This whole thing has kind of taken on its life of its own, even with the Shador stuff.
Yeah.
Because none of us, you know, there's still a line from an old friend. We don't know Shador. We don't know, and none of us really know. We just know what we've seen. We know how he's acted, and he doesn't. No human being deserves to have. That's his life. And being realistic, I don't care how much money his dad has. His dad's rich now. Shador's rich now because of the NIL money he made. But this is his livelihood and his future career. And it's a crap move. Like I said earlier, pranks are awesome.
Yeah.
When they're not mean-spirited. And this one was taking advantage of a bad situation. And I think, you know, this shows that Jax Ulbrich is a 21-year-old child. He's a man-child.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is physically that size, but he's an adult that's acting like a child, and he needs to grow up. It has nothing to do. It doesn't matter who he did it to. It's not cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on real quick. Let's get a couple more. I know y'all got full phone lines, man. Our phone line is going off the hook back there. Let's get to Rich over in Atlanta. Rich, what's going on, buddy? Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. First, I got to recognize the boss as a member of the Mike Mafia.
Wait. Let's go.
Mike Mafia.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming on in.
You know, welcome, Allie. I hope all goes well on your joining the morning show.
Yeah. Thank you. So far, so good.
But, you know, listen, guys, I listen to you every morning on the Odyssey app, especially like days today where I'm doing dialysis. And I just got to say, you know, first, my biggest age gap is my wife, who is 10 years younger than me. Hmm. We met on a campaign in Alabama, and it's been love ever since.
There you go.
We're celebrating our first year anniversary next week. So,
congratulations. Yes,
congratulations,
thank you,
Rich.
Thank you. But I do believe Jeff Obrist should get fired, right? We talk about these hypotheticals. If he was at home and left it open, but let's just say he was at work and he brought his son to work with him. You know, regardless of the situation, he left sensitive materials accessible and out in the open. And in this day and age, that's just very dangerous. So, you know, I definitely think he should get fined. I think there should be some kind of recourse with his son as well. I heard, you know, Dyline mentioned it earlier today about maybe, you know, canceling his visit to the facility and even some game tickets, right? So something has to be done with this. So, you know, I'll leave it to you guys and keep it going. Love the show.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you, Rich, for the phone call, and shout out to you and your wife on the one-year anniversary. I do want to fit one more phone call in here. Let's dial on. Let's go out to our buddy Larry over in the truck. I know he's got a warm welcome from Miss Allie Mack. Larry, what's up, man?
It's supposed to be fine as well.
Larry, we got you, buddy. I don't know if I can hear Larry very good. Larry, we got you? All right, we'll have to get Larry. We'll have to get Larry in a little bit. Can we go out to one more dial-on? Can we get Art and Alpharetta? Art and Alpharetta, what's up, Art? Good morning.
Good morning, all. How are you? I'm a transplant from the Boston area, but down here about 8 months. Been listening to you guys pretty regularly since then.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So I was going to jump in on your Belichick thing.
Okay.
The story about how he met that girl is long out there. I read that year ago, I want to say. They met on a flight.
Yeah. That's the story, anyways.
Yeah, well, I believe it was written, but they met on a flight. He helped her with some college history papers and all that other stuff. And supposedly the guy that she was with before him was older than him.
Oh, no. Really? Way. Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I got to dive into this now.
Google the story. You'll find it, but I believe it's out there.
Here we go.
Yeah, shout out, Art. Appreciate you.
Hey,
calling.
Has there ever been on the radio show a guy like the guy that sounds like Art and like me? Contrasting style. I appreciate you, Art. I appreciate you coming down here. I really do. It's funny, though. So, you know, this is her thing. She's like, old dude with money. I'm in.
Oh, man.
You know, good
I'm not
for
ready
her.
To
right?
say
like,
it, but.
Look. Everybody's got their thing. That's
it
hers.
Could be love.
Who am I to judge? I will say this about Rich. I appreciate Rich listening. I know, and good luck with the dialysis. That's not an easy thing to do. I don't know what recourse anyone can have with Ulbrich's son other than that maybe the league bans him from NFL games and NFL, you know, from the NFL as far as a fan.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what else they could do. I just do think that, look, if you find Ulbrich, that's fine. I said that, but it's really weird for me that people think, well, you know, you got to close your computer. I mean, dude, nobody's at home. You're in a safe area.
It's tough. He brought up a good point about, you know, if you brought your kid to work, it'd probably be a little bit different for me. But anyways, man, we got to go to break because when we come back on the other side, NFL draft analyst Tony Pauline. Now, guys, listen to me. Tony Pauline over the weekend put out an article about Jalen Walker to the Falcons, and there was a little tidbit in there about the fact that he believes some people in NFL circles think that Jalen Walker might require shoulder surgery. I'm going to ask Tony Pauline about that coming up on the other side. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face.
That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Radio 92.9 The Game, Mike Johnson, Squidbilly, Bo Morgan, and Miss Allie Mack back in the saddle hanging out with us. Appreciate you guys doing the same thing. If you're listening on the dial in the car, if you're on 285, if you're ITP, if you're OTP, if you're headed in, if you're headed out, shout out. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. When you get to work or when you get to wherever you're going, throw us on the Odyssey app, take us inside, throw those AirPods in, and continue to hook up with it, man. It's been a fun show so far. Coming off the NFL draft weekend, so many different stories. And, of course, we had to sprinkle in the Jeff Ulbrich news, unfortunately, and everything else going on the team. And that's why we are going to the phone lines right now to bring in Tony Pauline from Sports Skeeda. And Tony is obviously a very valued draft analyst and a friend of the show. And, Tony, look, I got to rip the Band-Aid off and go ahead and start here with the Jalen Walker tidbit you put out just this past weekend. We all kind of wondered, man, can you believe that he fell to 15? What a great draft pick from the Atlanta Falcons. Wondered what the insight was. You had a little bit of insight into this, and you wondered if there was a shoulder issue that some other teams might have been fearful of. Is there any light you can shed on that to give us a better understanding of that situation?
Well, I was told by someone that's close to Walker, part of the team, that he has a shoulder issue which may need surgery, which could complicate his rookie season, which is one of the reasons why he fell the way he did. Now, I didn't get into any details of it, but that's the information that was presented to me.
Tony, with the Falcons trading up for James Pierce Jr., how did you feel about that? A lot of people didn't. They thought they overspent for him. That was too much value put out there by the team. What did you feel about the trade and the player themselves?
Well, I like the player itself. I mean, I think that was the guy they were going to take at 15 if Jalen Walker had not fallen into their laps. Obviously, you know, there's got to be something to that, considering, you know, how they traded up, the price they paid, and the fact that they took, they made that trade for James Pierce. I think with both Walker and Pierce, they got a terrific duo of edge rushers, linebackers, athletes, guys that can get up the field and rush the passer, guys that can disrupt plays, or defenders that can get out laterally in pursuit and even drop into coverage. The thing about Walker is, he's more than an up-the-field linebacker, pass rusher. He's a guy that can drop off the field 20 to 25 yards and make plays in space. It's a high price to pay, and those sorts of moves, you know, can get general managers and head coaches fired if things don't go well and James Pierce does not produce as expected. But he's a terrific player, and obviously they were in love with him, which is why they made the move and gave away the number one pick in 2026.
Well, and Tony, we've been hearing that Kirk Cousins, you know, it's kind of been in limbo, wanted to wait until after the draft to figure out his game plan. So now that the dust is settled, what are your thoughts on where he might end up at this point?
You got to look at Pittsburgh. I mean, the Aaron Rodgers circus continues, and I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers still may end up there, but it's a headache that Pittsburgh seems to be distancing itself from if they can't sign him quickly. I wrote a piece, you know, you have to watch and see what happens with New Orleans. And the fact is, would Atlanta trade Kirk Cousins to a division rival? And as I said in the article last week, whichever team is willing to absorb the majority of the salary due Kirk Cousins this year, which I believe is $27 million, that's probably where he's going to be traded. So depending on what happens with Derek Carr, I wouldn't discount New Orleans.
Tony Pauline joining us, draft analyst and a fellow Led Zeppelin fan. Yeah. You know, Tony, my daughter was born 2 weeks ago, Saturday. She was she's a little restless. Played a little Zeppelin live. How the West was won, and I think Bring It On Home was a personal favorite of
calmed
hers.
Her down
I don't know.
A little bit.
But
so did she get up in the crib and start rocking, or did she fall asleep?
Well, I was standing up rocking, and she went from being fussy to quiet and listening. So I think it was a good first impression.
The quick story. We moved into our house. My daughter was 4 months old. A Led Zeppelin poster was the first thing that went up in her room. So there you go.
There you go.
I love it. See, that's why me and Tony, we're on the same wavelength. I hope we are here with this when we talk about it. Xavier Watts, he was the third safety in some people's boards. Mike, who obviously played and knows more about the game, we were watching some stuff on him. He's like, dude, he's like a college version of Jesse Bates. This guy is not the most athletically gifted at times. What was one of the knocks on him? But, man, he seems like a ball hawk, high football IQ guy. What do you think about Xavier Watts, the new safety here for the Falcons they got in the third round?
Exactly right. I mean, he is an instinctive guy, maybe not the most athletic, but he makes a lot of plays with his brain. He sees the play before it actually happens. He knows where the ball's going. He was a great leader of that entire Notre Dame defense, came up big for them through the college football playoffs. He's one of those guys that doesn't have mental lapses. He's very steady. He's very consistent. He's very good between the numbers. I don't think he's a true free safety, but they may have gotten their free safety with their next selection in Billy Bowman Jr. because he's the guy that can go sideline to sideline. He's the defensive back to safety that you can put over the slot receiver, and you can use him in coverage, and he won't be a liability. A lot of people were down on Billy Bowman after 2025. I think he really didn't elevate his game, but he was a steady player at Oklahoma, and that is a terrific duo that they selected in the third and fourth round with Watts and Bowman.
Hanging out here with the consulting editor at SportsKeeda.com and NFL draft analyst Tony Pauline. Tony, my thoughts on the James Pierce trade, I know you dove into it a little bit, but I want you to tell me if I'm on the right track here. I haven't minded it simply because of the way the Falcons are constructed, and I'm talking about giving up next year's one to trade back in and get James Pierce. A lot of times when you look at the first round, you talk about going to get a quarterback. Well, they have one of those. You go get, you know, a CB1, a corner. They've got A.J. Terrell under contract for a while. Jake Matthews just signed an extension at left tackle. You just drafted two pass rushers. It just feels like it was easier for Terry Fontenot and company to make that trade because of the pieces that you already have in place.
Well, I mean, we knew going into the draft it was going to be defensive heavy for Atlanta. I mean, if all of their picks were on defense, most of their picks, the majority of their picks were going to be defense. So I do agree with you. I think I would have maybe liked to see a defensive tackle thrown in the mix somewhere there. But again, I mean, a lot of people talked about Pierce and off the field issues and this and that. I always liked James Pierce. He's got to get a little bit bigger. He's got to get a little bit stronger. That's for sure, to hold up against the run at the next level. But I think the Pierce equation is more complete with Jaylen Walker, because now you have two rookies that you're going to control for 5 years if you want to, and if they pan out and they're a terrific duo.
Well, I want to ask you real quick, because I you had a great article about the Shedeur Sanders slide, and I want to get your take on that. But when you talked to the Walker people, was that something that he's played with, that they think it needs immediate attention, or is it something that he'll need surgery and TBD?
I think if there's a procedure, I didn't ask if he played with the shoulder issue in 2024. I would assume, and that's an assumption on my part, that he did. I don't think it happened. It was something that happened in the off season. The other assumption is if there's going to be a procedure done, it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Got it. Thanks for clarifying that, Tony. I appreciate it. You had a really good article that came out about Shedeur Sanders in the slide, that it was some on the field that got him out of the first round, but the stuff that really made him fall was more about the draft process.
I mean, it just seemed to be one thing after another. People will, you know, try and manufacture what went on, but, you know, it really started back at Shrine Bowl practice, and right then and there, Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl practice is the first and largest gathering contingent of scouts and coaches and sometimes general managers in one area. And it was it was apparent there that Cam Ward was going to be the first quarterback taken, and then he was going to be the first pick of the draft. And then you heard at the combine that Cam Ward is going to either be selected by the Tennessee Titans or another team that traded up. So there were all these warning flags all the way through. And as I said in that article, not signing an agent, I thought really hurt him, because an agent would have helped him navigate, you know, the choppy waters that were ahead. Part of the combine process with these players get ready for is not just the 40, the vertical jump, or the position drills. It's also the interviews. I mean, they drill these guys on the interviews, which did, you know, as has been reported, Shedeur Sanders interviews rubbed some people the wrong way. So it just seemed one mistake after another mistake after another mistake that they never recognized, which led to the fall. And as Mike P said, I think if they had somebody there, obviously they were relying on Deion. And maybe Deion thought he knew more than he did. But if they had somebody on the outside, an agent or whatever, a consultant, to say, hey, listen, you know, we got to do this. We've got to turn the tide of this. As I said in the article, every quarterback that was selected before Shedeur Sanders, not named Cam Ward, either participated through at the Combine, the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Bowl, or both. The only one that didn't was Cam Ward, and Cam Ward really didn't need to do it because the word was out in the middle of January that he was going to be the first quarterback selected. So it was just a lot of once the season was over, it was a lot of self-inflicted mistakes.
Real quick, Tony, we got 10 seconds left. Do you think there's going to be any punishment for Jeff Ulbrich and the whole Shedeur Sanders saga with the prank phone call?
I mean, it's a sad situation. I'm sure they're going to look into it. Something has to happen. I mean, that was just wrong. It was a bad situation for Shedeur. That made it even worse. I got to assume something's going to happen.
Yeah, appreciate that. That's Tony Pauline clearing up some things for us this morning. I'm with you, Tony. Like a collective Atlanta shake of the head this morning, man. But I appreciate you hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Tony Pauline, one of the best in the business, guys, when it comes to talking about that. I mean, I feel a little bit better about Jalen Walker. I mean, I wasn't concerned anyways, Bo. But obviously, when you see that news about a shoulder question, you know, you're going to be like, oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the severity of it, but
yeah.
Regardless, to me, I think he'll be the best player in the next 10 years anyways, whether he misses a few games or not.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It makes me feel better about the Pierce trade that you have him too. So,
yep.
And Devon Diablo signing.
Yeah. All right, well, another person that's going to be willing to talk about Jalen Walker, that's going to be our buddy Dave Archer. He's going to join us on the other side, the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network analyst and good friend of the Morning Shift, and myself and Squid Billy. Roll on with us, guys. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 8:42, Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike, Squid Billy, Miss Allie Mack, new to the show, new permanent member, hanging out with us, obviously, this morning, man. So a lot of fun so far. Appreciate you guys weighing in. Had a ton of input on the socials today and on the phone lines from the Jeff Olbrich saga, I'm calling it, Jax Olbrich, and that whole debacle, if you will, and also, you know, playing the Bill Belichick interview on CBS Sunday Mornings. Just, like, how does that even happen? Like, how do you go in an interview without a statement ready about how you guys met?
Not talking about this.
Yeah, not talking about this. Like, somebody tweeted me. They're like, dude, just say Tinder. Like, it's 2025. Like, yeah. You don't have to go that far. Although,
it's all good.
Although the thought of Bill Belichick having a Tinder profile just cracks me up. Anyways, let's go now to the phone lines to a guy that does not have a Tinder profile, and that's Mr. Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network analyst. And, Dave, look, I want to start here. It's not Falcons related, but I was thinking about this and thinking about you over the weekend. The Cleveland Browns quarterback room with really five names in it, although you won't have to include Deshaun Watson probably. You ever deal with a situation like that where you walked into a room and competing with guys and it was absolutely just loaded down with other people in there?
No, Mike, it is a strange situation, no question. I thought that, once they kind of solidified their quarterback situation, you know, I don't know if their quarterback situation is solidified anyway. So, but once they, you know, they took Dylan Gabriel, thought, okay, well, that's not where Shador is going to go. And then the couple rounds later, Shador is going there. So it's a really odd situation. I heard the interview with Coach Stefanski and talking about how they were going to get everybody reps. You know, essentially Deshaun Watson, I know his name's in the mix, but he's not going to play. So you're talking about four quarterbacks with the two veterans, Pickett, the young veteran, and, of course, Flacco, the older guy coming in. So it'll be interesting to see how they divide up the numbers because you're trying to get everybody reps. Flacco has some understanding of their offense. And, you know, as you go through the offseason, you gain some knowledge of what you're going to do, but then you got to put it into action in 3 seconds as a quarterback and react to new terminology. You know how it goes as a player going to a different team. So you're going to have three players that are kind of trying to learn on the job, where Flacco is a guy that was there a couple of years ago and has an understanding of the system. So it's really an odd situation, and it'll be interesting to see how they manage those two young guys and give them an opportunity to make the team.
Arch, you know, we talked to you Friday about what they did in the on Thursday night, but I loved what they did in the third round. You know, this is a team that had limited picks, and they only had five, and I thought they did a pretty good job with all of them. But let's talk about it, Xavier Watts. Some people had him as the third-best safety on the board. The knock you heard was, well, you don't want him in man-to-man, which, okay, that's fine. But he is a football IQ guy. He seems to be a ball hawk, and it's based on his instincts. What do you think about Xavier Watts?
Yeah, in all honesty, you don't really want any safety in man-to-man coverage unless he's locked on a tight end or somebody that you know he can run with. There's not really – that's always an advantage for a quarterback as you're trying to get safeties locked on slot receivers. So that's going to be across the board. So that's kind of a stupid argument that you don't want him in man coverage. So let's throw that one out the window. 13 interceptions tells me he has an idea where the football is going and knows how to get his hands around. The former wide receiver that was forced to play some linebacker a little bit, kind of a nickel dime linebacker at Notre Dame, and then ultimately shifted to safety. He's a two-time consensus All-American, so I think his credentials kind of carry the fact that he can play safety and knows how to play the position and knows how to maybe negotiate his way through some man coverage situations. The guys, you mentioned it, Bo. He's a ball hawk. I think he generated another two or three or four forced fumbles, so the guy gets the ball out. You know, when you start looking at the Falcon draft and you said, okay, what do we need to do defensively? We need to get to the quarterback. We need to generate more turnovers. Well, you went and got two guys that can get to the quarterback, and you went and got two guys that all they do is take the football away. I mean, Billy Bowman Jr. has 11 career interceptions himself, 24 interceptions between these two safeties you took in the third and fourth round, and four of them returned for touchdowns. So you're talking about, you know, and I know you didn't mention Billy Bowman Jr. here, but you talk about a guy that's an instinctual player now. He's undersized. Everybody's going to say, well, he doesn't fit the per diem of where you're supposed to be as a safety or the measurables. What he does is he makes plays. Guy had 200 career tackles at Oklahoma. He had 11 interceptions. Three of those he took back for touchdowns. And he just has the ability to be around the ball. His dad's a high school football coach. He understands how to play. So I thought they got two guys that are really going to help them in special teams as well. I think that's the part that we forget about. We think about them on defense. But let's not forget about what they're going to contribute on special teams in that area with Marquise Williams and some of the nuances that are changing with coverage units and things like that.
Well, Arch, just to pop in real quick with Bowman. No, I didn't mention him, but I think it's a good point. He's even a guy that at times at Oklahoma played a little bit of nickel and played in the box against the run. He was liked. His skills against the run was good. But he's a guy that is a little bit more athletic, even though he's undersized. And Ulbrich even mentioned at some point, I think it was Saturday afternoon in the press conference or whenever the media got to speak with him, that he could kind of try to be groomed to play that nickel spot.
Yeah, he can, Bo. He runs. He's about a 4.45 guy, so runs a little better. Not the biggest guy in the world, 5'10", 5'11", about 195. But kind of one of those pesky guys that kind of gets in your hip pocket and bugs you, has an understanding how to play. Like I said, a coach's son. Go back and look at the numbers these kids had when they were in high school as wide receivers. Bowman had over almost 1,300 yards receiving, I think 14 or 15 touchdowns. Wow. And Watts was off the table when it came. He played in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska high school. He had almost 3,000 yards receiving and almost 40 receiving touchdowns. Really was recruited to Notre Dame as a wide receiver and transitioned to DB. So both these guys are extremely good athletes.
We are talking with former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer. And, Dave, I'm so curious about the mindset of these guys. They just got drafted. You've been through this. Mike has been through this. Brought immediately to Atlanta. What's going through Jalen and James's heads right now, for that matter? Xavier, Billy Bowman, Jack Nelson. It's got to be like drinking from a fire hose right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you start trying to absorb, and welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, that's really cool. There's no question that as a young player, you come in, there's a lot of anxieties and things that you have to put away that you're only going to be able to put away once you go through them. Like, you know, how do I get from the airport to the facility? And, you know, where am I going to stay? And all those kind of things that kind of go into a young player. And then you got the competition part of it. You know, this is two safeties are coming in. We've got, you know, they went and got Jordan Fuller. You got Jesse Bates coming back. You got DeMarco Helms coming back off injury. So, you know, you got to go make a team. You got to be able to absorb what they want to do defensively. And from a safety perspective, we just talked about those two guys. They're going to play multiple positions, probably going to play in the back end. They're going to rock down in that invert position as a safety. They're going to play dime and nickel linebacker positions probably. So a lot to absorb from a blitz standpoint, from a coverage standpoint. So there's no question. But all the you're trying to get out of the way as much as you can, the periphery stuff, the outside noise. Where do I go here for this? What do I do there for that? And that all comes with a rookie. And all that goes away only once you can kind of settle yourself as to, you know, how am I going to get here? How am I going to get there? And that's that kind of outside the football part of it, you know, the social part of it that they're going to have to deal with that most, you know, veterans don't have to think about anymore.
Yeah. Dave Archer joining us, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst. Dave, we've spent the last few days talking about what the Falcons did in the draft. Let's spend just a couple of minutes here talking about what they did not do. And I've made the argument numerous times. Bo knows this. I've talked to him about it. I think one of the more underrated losses of this offseason is going to end up being Eddie Goldman. He brought something to the table that nobody else did. The Falcons do not get a defensive tackle in the draft. What do you think the immediate future, and I guess long-term as well, is for some of the spots that you know, the Falcons did not address in the draft?
Yeah, there were a couple of guys I really liked, Mike, and I liked a couple of guys really early in the draft, too. I could have seen them. We did our pre-draft show, and I picked three guys that potentially could fall in Atlanta's lap. None of the three were the ones we ended up going with, but I had Mykel Williams, who ended up going to the 49ers, then I had Kenneth Grant, who I liked a lot. A lot of people are talking about Mason Graham, his cohort on the interior, and rightly so, but I thought Kenneth Grant, 6'4", 335, was that guy that you're talking about, a run plugger, a guy that had really good feet, could push the pocket to the interior. In talking to a few of the Falcon brass coaches and things, they felt like they had enough big people that they didn't have to attack that area. Now, certainly with the limited draft capital that they had, they pinpointed, they felt like they needed to get some guys in that second and third level at the safety spot, and certainly in the on the first level from an edge rusher standpoint. And when you only have a few draft picks, I guess you got to kind of pinpoint some areas. But I would agree with you. There was a couple of guys that I really liked defensive tackle-wise. And you also wonder, you know, they re-signed Kadarius Hodge, and we saw how good Kadarius Hodge could be in the slot with the play he made against Tampa in overtime to win the game. Maybe they're very comfortable with that. I think the receiver core comes back for the most part intact. There were a couple of guys I would have loved to have seen, a couple of them were Iowa State's jerseys back here last year that I'd like to have seen them grab, Jalen Knoll in particular. But Knoll ended up going to the second round to or third round, I guess, to the Texans. They got three Iowa State wide receivers down there in Houston. You think they like Cyclones at all down there?
I think they probably do, my
friend.
Maybe
they're doing smart drafting, Arch. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, man. That's Atlanta Falcons Radio Network analyst Dave Archer. Arch, let's get a beer soon, dude. That's been too long.
Sounds good, man. Yeah. I'd love to. Sounds
appreciate
great.
You hanging out with us, man. That's Dave Archer, you got it, Falcons quarterback. Bo, he gave us a good rundown, and I'm glad that we got a chance to touch on what they didn't do, but still so many things to be happy about from the draft.
Well, I just love that when because you read all this stuff, and everybody was a critic, right? And everybody's read a draft report. Well, watch, you not in man coverage. That's why I love how Arch just hammers that home. Well, that's kind of a stupid thing anyways. If you're speaking of beer, you know what? You got to drink the Owl Inn Lager by my friends at New Realm. I actually had three or four this weekend. We got invited over to this cross the street. They were cooking out. And Amy's like, should we go? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. And so I carried a six-pack over there and had a couple. And we had some chicken. And we did like Colombian hot dogs. But my buddy put some Baron Burton's W sauce on the chicken. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, there you go.
Colombian hot dogs apparently got all these sauces on it, and you have those. Remember those potato strings that they have? They're like the
curly fries.
They're like potato chips that look like the stringy French fries. They're like.
I know what you're talking about.
Nah, man, you missed.
You get them at like fairs, and they're like both said they're like thin, kind of like curly fries. They're like home curly fries.
All right.
Well, they're not curly at all. They're straight. But anyways, they go on the hot dogs.
That's what you get for trying to take his side.
I know, right? I tried to let him know I was here with him, and then, you know, I get reprimanded, but it's all right.
Well, I'm just trying to explain what they are.
I'm just teasing.
No worries,
but
man.
They're called potato sticks is what they are. That's what their correct name is, and they're really good. Man, they make Colombian hot dogs.
Shoestring potatoes.
Shoestring potatoes.
Shoestring potatoes. Okay. That's what you're talking about.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
But they
man.
Come in a can.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got
Thank
even
you.
More questions now with the whole this can saga. Now, okay. Anyways, we got to go. This hour's been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Mike and Bo. Allie, did we scare you away? Can we invite you back tomorrow?
I will be back even earlier tomorrow.
There you go. There you go. Don't beat me in the building. That's been it for the morning shift. The Steakhouse is next. Make sure you stay cool, Atlanta.
Well, you didn't even give me a chance to stay cool, Atlanta.